This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, hi.
The Don and Mike Show.
Cut the jibba jabba.
Okay. You're awful funny, aren't you?
We tried.
They can go to hell. This place deserves exactly what it gets.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
What is he, a faggot?
Hey, don't you Friday, everybody.
What not?
I am loving.
I know you are. Here's the phone number. Let's get that out of the way.
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
All right. Well, who the hell are you?
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Hi, Chris. And what do you like?
I like rape.
That's ridiculous.
Rusty.
Smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Just don't call us faggots.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Thanks, Rickles.
These kids are fags. I can't believe it. No,
Rickles.
No, God damn it, they're fags.
That's so true.
That is so true, Dick.
Nice ass.
Thank you.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I disagree.
That was funny.
I'm not happy.
Hey, Paula Goldstein.
You are a cheating, lying whore.
So now that's not a nice thing to say about Paula Goldstein.
But check on Buzz over there.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
And guess who else is here? Jimmy Stewart. Well, I'm Jimmy Stewart.
Thank you.
To show, I'm showing you how to cut apples.
That made sense.
Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
There we go.
Yippee.
Well, hi, everybody.
Howdy, how's your old tomato?
Welcome back to the show.
Back up.
Welcome.
So good.
So good.
It's a tall tapper. A jam. And it's out called Malice.
That's a good jam for a Friday.
Trying to get together.
And pretty soon it's going to be the 5 o'clock whistle on Friday.
This is the damn as. Don and Mike, afternoon zoo.
The D-Maz.
D-Maz show.
The D-Maz show.
D-Maz show, and our door is always open.
Welcome to the FZ, the fun zone.
All right, here we go. Hi, little brains. It's Friday, and phone number, same as it was yesterday, 877-365-3636. Once again, thanks to Buzz, that natty pot thing with the sinus infection.
You're better?
It's incredible. Everybody knows this. When you felt sick for a while.
Yes.
As I had been like the first 3 days of this week, just dragging ass. And then when you turn the corner.
I felt that way the last 3 years.
When you turn the corner, like I did this morning, and you realize, hold on a second. Yeah. That's air going in the left nostril. Mm-hmm. That's air going in the right nostril.
Check.
Oh, I'm getting close. I'm getting very close to being back to normal.
Yes. Good, good. Your color is good.
Yeah.
Yesterday, your nose was a tad Rudolph. Like when you came in here, because you've been blowing and sneezing, right, and all that stuff.
Anyway, that thing, that nose douche, is just incredible. So thank you for the tip in on that,
good.
Buzz.
The neti pot.
Glad it worked. And feeling so good about that. I actually have a slight ball to bust today, and it's a pet peeve I have. Mm-hmm. And it's only that I've been under the weather, that I've not been among people.
Right,
you know,
of course.
Regular folk. I hide in my house when I'm sick.
Normally, you love people.
It's frustrating, though, when you go out because of the paparazzi.
Well, no, Mike, you're kidding about that. But, you know, if I meet a fan of the show,
yes.
I like giving a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
an open mouth kiss. Yeah.
Well, I first start the European way. I do, you know, one on each cheek,
right?
Your
and then
mark.
You know, and then if you see that the listener is receptive,
yeah, male or female,
then tongue.
I just
you'll go in.
I dive right in. Uh-huh. So I avoid people when I'm sick because I don't want to, you know, kiss someone and make them sick. But I'm feeling better, so I'm stopping at Safeway today, and it's a pet peeve of mine, but it's something that I've noticed happening more and more. They're the people that I call the grazers. Now, you've got to stop doing this. You've got to stop treating this like the goddamn grocery store is your kitchen. There was a guy today, like a big beached whale, like a big cow, just out grazing.
Yeah.
What he had was he had the food in his basket, and as he was walking down the aisle, he couldn't contain himself.
I see.
He opened the box of crackers. Now, I've seen people do this with their kids before.
Right.
And with a kid, it's normally you cut him a little slack. This guy opened the box of crackers, stopped where he was, and reached up on the aisle and pulled out some of this Kraft cheese in a bottle, the thing where you...
Right.
And actually... Oh, way out of line.
Oh, yeah, stood
way
right,
out of line.
Stood right there and went... First went down the mouth. Now
that's beyond grazing.
Now I could not.
Yeah, that is beyond grazing.
I couldn't stop myself.
That's almost call the manager time.
Right.
I didn't say anything. I just was staring at the guy, and then he looked at me belligerently, and he said, "Hey, I'm buying this stuff."
Uh-huh.
Like he was aware
yes.
that what he was doing was kind of not proper.
Not right. Not kosher.
It's gross.
I have to say that I do occasionally knock back the beverage.
Sure.
If I'm in the grocery store. But the beverages are different because they keep in most grocery stores, those little cases, they're designed to be consumed.
Now, there's a difference between this and my pet peeve with people like who go to McDonald's and can't just have the willpower to wait to get to the friggin' table. They got to start. As soon as the dirty worker's hands give you the food,
at the counter.
You've got to stand there at the dirty counter with every other germ in the world
right.
and start eating your food because you just can't wait.
Right.
Well, that's my pet peeve. And if someone opens.
And also, this is your pet peeve, the guy in the grocery store.
Well, sure. Mike, but what I'm saying is that I let that one go by the wayside.
But you're okay, like, if somebody's got a powerful thirst.
If they got a drink,
well,
sure.
They have drink holders in the cart.
Yeah. Right. If you got a little kid, of course.
Right. No, but that's the cheese whiz way out of line.
Even if you're in the store and you're hungry and you open up your bag of Doritos as you're walking around, well, okay. But this guy just stopped in aisle 7, was having a snack.
And he said to you, I'm going to buy this?
Yeah.
At any time did you feel like looking at him and going, that's not the point, Porky?
No, he just floored me.
Yeah.
And he stood there and
I'd stop and stare too.
Sure. I've never seen
that's so terrible.
Food prep before.
I mean it's one even the crackers I think are over the line. Even if you're you know, crackers. It's yeah. it's a little bit different, you know.
Got a candy bar.
I'm trying to think of any kind of food stuff that you could pick up at the grocery store that might be
acceptable.
And I got the feeling watching him that it was a spur of the moment thing. That
he was hungry.
He turned the corner. He saw the display with the cheese in the bottle, the right? spray
I think,
bottle.
I think he was lying to you. I don't think he had any intention of paying for it. I think you're going to have a half, like a half-eaten box of Triscuits and you know, a spent cheese whiz tube that's going to be sitting up on one of the shelves. Have you seen that in the grocery store? Haven't you?
Sure.
Oh.
Where something's gone through and it's just left. I mean, there are people that do that.
When
all
I
the
worked
time.
In Philadelphia, a grocery store I visited every week, you went down the cookie aisle. There was always one package of cookies open, and about half or three quarters of it were empty, which means every time somebody passed by, people were taking cookies.
You know, and again, I know that happens, and I guess it's okay if you're. Well, what am I saying? Everybody, to each his own.
Well, Costco
you know,
prevents that by feeding people
giving,
in the
right,
store.
Giving samples.
Right.
Yeah. But still, if you're going to walk by and sneak something, I'm cool with that. But for God's sake, if you're a big, fat load, and seriously, this guy was such a load.
What are you looking at?
Really?
What are you looking at?
Big, fat loser in his...
I'm going to buy these crackers.
In his sweatpants that had like a motor oil or grease stain on them.
Would have been really bad if he looked at you and said, excuse me, could you go over and get me and peel me a banana?
Anyway, I was discussing it with the cashier on the way out. Well, you know, I
sure.
know I know all of the people in this particular store.
That's legit.
Hi to AJ. He's my favorite cashier. I mentioned, and, you know, they're funny. The people in the store are very funny, the people that work there. Because I mentioned in my regular voice, I was in the 15 items or less. I said to this guy, AJ, the checkout guy, I said, God, there's some guy like back in aisle 7. I said, maybe it's my pet peeve. This guy's like opening crackers and taking out cheese and eating in the middle of the aisle. And like, what's up with that?
So you were ratting him out. You were going to the proper authorities.
Well, not ratting, just, you know.
Sharing. You were venting.
You were making sharing. Conversation.
I mean, if you were ratting, you would have gone like to the information kiosk.
And I don't think that AJ at this point is like going to get on the intercom, the Safeway intercom, and call the food police. But he calls me close and he goes, hey, not so loud. Not so loud. We know it. Just it's one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess the guy, whoever the guy is known in the store as a fat guy that just pretty much stops and eats his way around the store.
Stay away from me. I'm eating. Get me a banana.
I worked at Safeway for 3 years, and it's in the employee manual. Never approach a customer and tell them, and like, if they're doing something suspect, never approach them.
So you can never do
that. Just let them do it. Mm-hmm.
Really?
The best thing is when I worked in Richmond.
Well, you know what? Then that's exactly why he's just came and said, hey, you know, just
right.
We know. Just don't let it bother you.
Did they say why?
No, that's just the policy. Huh. And no sideburns longer than your ear. That was another Safeway policy. Yeah.
That was the Safeway policy?
When I worked in Richmond and we were in a really bad neighborhood, believe it or not, there is a bad section of Richmond.
Really? Where's that? Not by King's Dominion.
No. It's further
it's
south.
It's a lovely city, Rob. I've never seen a bad section
not
of
by
Richmond.
The downtown area.
And certainly not in 1989.
Certainly not.
The homeless used to come into Safeway and go over and get deodorant and put on the stick deodorant and then put the deodorant back on the shelf.
Oh, my God.
That's nice.
Now that was...
How could you tell, though, if the cap was put back on?
Here's the thing. After about halfway through my tenure there, the sticks started putting like little domes on top of the stick.
Right.
And so they would go and apply it, but all they would get is the plastic. And then people would go home, open this deodorant, and it will have this plastic dome been rubbed under a homeless person's
arm. Oh, nasty.
We got a lot of returns for that. And the other thing I feel I should mention is that I loved when homeless people would come in the summertime and pay for stuff with money they kept in their shoe.
Oh! And you had to handle that cash.
Yeah, it really was like someone handing you a five-day-old sock.
You were a good cashier, weren't you?
The best.
You were the best cashier.
Oh, I could bag like crazy, and you should have seen me in Express. I was fast.
Oh, the deodorant with the cap still
that
on.
Was,
or with
that
the protective lid still on.
What happened is they would take it to the front office, and Keith in the front office would say thank you, and actually have them drop it in a plastic bag, and then he'd tie it shut and throw it away.
Where are you with produce if somebody buys an apple and wants to take a bite out of their apple?
You can't do that.
Oh, you can't do it?
Well, because it's my weight.
Well, Rob, I mean...
Oh, no, I'm going to jail.
You're going to jail.
I'm going to be prosecuted.
What you just said is that the Safeway police in this case wouldn't stop someone.
Yeah. Well, no, they won't stop you,
and
but,
I would
but
I would
that's
think,
dishonest.
For God's sakes. No, I've been with people in the store before, and they've picked up a piece of fruit and actually said to the checkout guy, hey, there's five apples in there, but I ate one already.
Right.
Okay, well, as long as
I've actually taken an empty cup in and made juice. I'm kidding, of course.
What kind of juice?
I'm my own.
That's right.
Delicious juice.
Anyway, stop your grazing, for God's sakes, please.
But where would you be on as far as when you say the grazing, the guy with the cheese whiz or the lady with the change purse in the 15 items or less line? The lady that actually is going to take out the change purse and pay with change, or somebody who is going to be writing
my,
a check.
My policy?
Which is
I mean, which is the
my policy,
which way would you feel stronger about?
Well, death sentence to those who slow down those in the 15 item or less.
So, I mean, if you had to say, I mean, the guy that's doing the cheese whiz is really not directly impacting
him. He's not hurting anybody but himself or the people who
and
happen
if he,
to
if
happen
he is
going to
pay for
him.
If he's not going to pay for it, then he's screwed. I mean, then he is hurting you.
The bad thing about old people with coin purses, and it really is an old person's game. They would
How many coin purses do you own?
I have, but they're all full of coins.
Now, you say old people. It's old women primarily, right?
Old men, too.
Old men do it, too?
What old men have, it's like a leather thing that
it's a little satchel.
Yeah. But what they would do...
Don't they have, like, little plastic things that almost look like IUDs?
Oh, those
that you
are
squeeze.
Old. Those
yeah.
are very old. Yeah,
it has an insurance agent's name on it.
Right. But, I mean, you know, no checks in the 15 items or less.
No. Amen. Just cash. But what old people would do is they'd open their coin purse and dump it on the conveyor belt.
Right.
And then pick the coins out that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then have to pick the coins back up. and God forbid the belt started moving and they lost their change.
And
down
usually
the
that's
slot.
Involved. That involves couponing too.
Oh, no coupon. You should never use a coupon in Express.
I've seen both checks, change purses, and coupons. Everybody has.
That's wrong. Yeah.
And no food stamps.
It's now, Rob.
Ever.
And you have to take care of your fellow man.
Food stamps out of your shoe, no thank you.
I got to tell you something. I will not go to the store with Janet because she is such a couponaholic.
Oh, she loves the coupon. Oh, you mentioned this before. She loves the coupon.
And she does the stuff where she gets the coupon and then she waits until the ads in the paper where it says it's 2 for 1.
Yes. Right.
So in theory, you're buying 5 12 packs of Coca-Cola, but you're really getting 2 of them for free. I mean,
well, when you see somebody in the grocery store with coupons.
What was that, Hurricane Rob?
It's a perfect storm when you combine a sale with a coupon.
A sale with a coupon. I was in back of a lady.
He gets all hard about this because he does have a retail background.
Yeah. I was in back of a lady over at this Target, the one that's right by the radio station, and somehow the amount of savings came up, and I was pretty impressed. I think I said this before. She actually saved $35.
However,
which to me is a pretty significant, it was not that big a purchase either.
Janet can go to a store and come home and say, I saved, I'm not kidding you, like $116 today.
Right.
Now she buys a lot in bulk, and I've been to the store with her, and at least she has the sense to tell the people when she's checking out.
Right.
She holds up her ginormous wad of coupons.
Does she have them wrapped in an elastic band?
No, she's not like that. She's not nothing like that.
Does she paperclip them at all?
No, she doesn't, but she does find her patience is tested when someone working behind the counter seems to think she's pulling a fast one.
Right.
Like, I've
been
there.
Well, like the coupons might not be legit.
No, when like, they'll ring it up, and Janet's the type of person that will actually look at everything being rung up, you know, unlike you or I, I'm sure. And she'll go, no, hold on. That's 2 for 1.
Right.
And the person goes, right, I charge you 2 for 1. No, but I have a 50% off coupon, and I have a double 2 for 1 coupon. So at that point, it gets like it becomes a math problem.
Yeah, right, it sure does.
And
I guess, but don't they scan those things normally?
Yeah, the coupon.
I mean, isn't it automatic? I mean, they take the math out of the cashier's hand.
They do, unless you come in with so many coupons that you're saying, okay, this applies to this, and this is 2 for 1, and this is buy one and get one free,
right.
And this is buy one and get a rebate. I'm going to take the rebate, I'm going to apply it to this, I'm going to buy 6 of these, and you're not going to charge me for this. I got a coupon for this. Mm-hmm. Don't even bother asking me about this because I'm positive this all works. And at that point, the cashier always says, hold on, and then you hear, help on aisle 7.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, what, 11 or 12 cents worth of transaction here?
Yeah, but no, with Janet, it's actually, you know, like I said, like it's three figures. It's $100 when she
does the full grocery
shopping. Yeah, when
shopping.
She goes all the way out.
So she'll tell you how much she saved because of coupons?
Well, she proudly does.
Oh, yes. That's cool.
It's hard to avoid that system now because they do scan most coupons.
Yeah, they've got the barcode on them.
In the old days, if someone handed me a stack of coupons, I don't know. It could have been off of a Buick, and I don't care. I would have rung it in because it was all done by hand.
Right. So you just took it for granted
absolutely,
that the customer was right.
Especially if it was a big order.
Right. So, the first order of business, not to argue with the customer.
Absolutely.
Right.
Keep them happy. Keep them coming back. Keep them buying deodorant.
Unless they're putting Cheese Whiz on crackers.
That's
then you nip it in the bud.
That's Mr. Lockridge. We don't bother him.
Another thing I noticed that they're doing.
Leave me alone. I'm having a snack. I'm going to be in here for 45 minutes. If I'm going to be in here for 45 minutes, I need sustenance.
And you know, the guy's got to be a big load if I'm standing there going, hey, fatso, you know, what are you doing, grazing today?
Right. And you didn't say that to him. You just
said
it with your eyes.
Yeah, the look.
I believe I did.
You said it with your look. Your look spoke volumes.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi,
you're on the air. What's happening? Hello.
Hello there.
Guys doing today?
We didn't ask, but how are you?
I'm lovely.
How are you today, Mike?
I'm wonderful, Don. How are you doing?
I'm super duper
good. You look like you're doing better.
Feeling better. How about you, old timer?
I feel better. This woman's lovely.
She's very lovely.
Yeah, I work at a Super Walmart. You'd be amazed between all the registers, what's going on, what people do, the crap people pull. It's just amazing.
You know, I long for the old days.
So do I, Don. So do I.
Home Depot is a son of a bitch. If you buy something and you bring it up there and it doesn't have the barcode on it, and you say to the person, it was $9.99.
Yeah.
And you're positive it was $9.99. You say, listen, why would I lie to you about this?
Not good enough.
And then they say, hold on. Right. We got to get a manager to go back
of course.
Find the display where the item is.
Yeah, and the barcodes aren't always flawless.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
They're really. I mean, there's somebody making a mistake occasionally.
I do remember when it used to be you would go into a store every once in a while, be like, "Is there a price on that?" And you go, "No." And the guy goes, "What do you think it was?" You go, $15," and he would
good enough
up.
For me.
You
still
go,
happens.
Sure.
Yep.
thank you. That's the cheapest power washer I've ever had.
I know how to do department codes, so it's really really easy if you just like all you got to know is the department code. A lot of times we got to send the managers back because we need the numbers. But if you tell me how much it is, I keep right in. I'm not waiting for a manager. I don't feel like dealing with them because they're slow.
Right.
When you can get one.
You know, the greatest experience, I still remember it from when I was a little kid where I knew I got the benefit of the doubt. I was in one of the original Toys R Us's that they had in my town.
God, I love the smell of Toys R Us. I really used to love that plastic smell.
And I had a mini bike, the little... like mini bike you get. Do you guys have Western Auto down here?
Yeah.
Okay, the kind of mini bike you got at Western Auto. Right. It was the greatest thing I ever got in my life. You know, I tool around the yard. It was just super cool. And they had the Easy Rider motorcycle helmet, like a real one Toys R Us.
Like the red, white, and blue thing?
The American flag.
Right.
Ah. And they had it in Toys R Us, and it was the price tag on it that had been put on there was $5.
Uh-oh.
And I knew that it was a much more lofty priced item.
Sure.
Like, and when you know when you're that age, you think you know the difference between $5 and $20 is massive.
Huge.
And I remember just you know saying, "Okay, this is $5, right?" He goes, "Yeah, I guess so." And he just rings it up and he lets me leave. And I was just like,
bargain.
It was great because it was probably like a $15 to $20 item.
At least.
Everybody's done that at some point, right? Change price tags. I mean, back in the day when you could get
ignored the fact that that the price tag was wrong.
Well, I know that I had been, I had been in a store with friends, and
your hooligan friends,
your thugs, punks.
This was maybe even when I was a grown up, Mike. Maybe when money was tight, that I would go into the place of business, and if it was like $9.99, maybe I would find a sticker that said $3.99 and stick it on, and no one's the wiser.
I believe God will forgive you for that.
I believe that it was all made out because they made so much money on everyone else.
And you were trying to eat. That's what it was. You were trying to put food on the table.
As I recall, it was brute.
I wanted to
smell good. Do you know the one time I SU not
censor expensive?
You want to talk about being broke? I was so friggin' broke.
Mm-hmm.
I was in between jobs, and this buddy of mine, Chris Schiebel, had a party in Chicago. Uh-huh. Buzz, you know him.
Yeah.
And I thought that I'm going to maybe get information on a job.
Right.
So I drive to Chicago.
From the Schiebler?
From Milwaukee. I drive to Chicago.
Smart.
Guy's got an incredible apartment. I'm living in a total dump with no telephone, no nothing. I'm driving my crappy Opel.
Did you have a mattress?
Sleeping on the floor, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was floor, then it was sofa bed,
right.
Then it was mattress on the floor.
Okay.
Excellent.
but I do remember, this is the lowest, and I did apologize to him for doing this. When I was in his bathroom taking a leak, I opened up his medicine cabinet.
As you always do.
Yeah. And he had
he had
some killer cologne in there.
Right.
And I just put the bottle in my pocket.
Oh.
And
you wanted to smell good. Even at your depth of poverty, you wanted to smell good.
Sure.
I was so insanely jealous that this guy had the big TV. And
you didn't, load up on it before you left the bathroom, did you?
No. I was not dumb like that.
Right. Good.
He'd pick up on it, though, if you saw him at another time and you smelled like him.
Put it in my pocket. And I do remember what I did tell him. And it was not that long
afterward,
because I did meet an intermediate at this get-together. And we were talking about it. I said, hey, I got to be honest with you. I've been going through a tough time, and you know, when I was in your bathroom, he said, I know.
Wow.
He knew you stole his cologne?
He said, yeah, you took the cologne, right?
Cologne is kind of the item where, if you had a lot of other stuff in there, and maybe a variety of colognes, it might not go missing.
I figure because he had like seven bottles.
Right.
Well, right. He said, I knew someone had to take it, and I figured it was you.
You know, you can trace the evolution.
High praise, really.
I couldn't be insulted because I did it.
He was right. So he kept track of his stuff.
Yeah.
He was aware of his stuff. But what I was going to say is you can trace the evolution of men by the evolution of their cologne. You can go back. I can actually probably – I'd have an easier time telling you what colognes I've worn throughout history than the cars I've purchased.
Really?
Well, you bought a lot of cars.
No, but you could go way back when. And
where did you start?
I can tell you in a pinch.
I would start with one of Don's favorite. I'd start with Brut.
Okay. I would say if I'm in a pinch, I'll go into 7-Eleven, and there's always Brut there.
Right.
And that always works.
Stetson. That's been around for a million years. I went from Brut. I think I went from Brut to Aramis.
What about Old Spice used to smell like old man? Right.
Do you know what my father used to get? Royal Lime. Did you ever hear of that?
I've
Royal.
Heard of it.
It
had a
Royal
citrus
lime.
Smell, right?
Yeah, it was a citrusy thing.
Do you remember the old Spice bottle,
the white bottle,
yes. Bottle that had like the stopper on top?
Yeah, like a pyramid almost.
And I had to pull it up. My grandfather had.
Yeah, and you would smell that. And it always smelled like, ugh, smelled like grandpa.
It was grandpa.
Yeah. Right.
That was grandpa cologne.
Grandpa exactly. In a bottle.
Then there I went to Musk.
You went Jovan?
Jovan Musk.
I think most guys went through the Jovan phase.
Then I.
Jovan Musk was kind of, and we all thought, hey, this is Musk, so we're going to get laid because we're wearing it.
Right.
And maybe.
I'm trying to think.
You wore CK for a while, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that's a go-to for me.
I wore a cologne called Koros.
What is
that? K-O-U-R-O-S.
Mm-hmm. Heard of it?
For a while. Koros would have been the very first time I moved into the more expensive colognes. But I'm still trying to think. You mentioned High Karate. That was there.
Yeah.
And Aqua Velva.
Aqua Velva is another one.
That was my first.
Yep.
In an absolute nothing else left.
Yeah.
I will go with the Aqua Velva.
Do you know how, they've been doing this for a million years, but at Christmas time, they'd have in the drugstores the gift packs of little mini colognes.
Still do, yeah.
And I had that throughout high school. And I'm trying to think of the one. It had a wooden cap. It had a wooden bottle cap.
Oh, I know what you mean.
English leather.
English leather. Yeah.
English leather.
English leather. There
yes,
it
everybody
is.
Had English leather.
Yeah, yeah, English leather.
Yeah, did that.
Everybody had that.
Stinky.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening with you?
Not much. I'm calling from your favorite place, Sacramento.
Well, you're right about that.
How are things? Has the flood subsided?
When is the next World's Fair?
The flood is real good. My Safeway over here the other day, this lady was trying to steal cat food in front of me. She put the cat food on that bottom part of the cart, that you don't see when you're ringing up. And the person behind me was eating a plum or the juiciest fruit possible. It was a sucking, slurping, loud noise right in my ear, because you know how everybody in line has to get right up on you.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm ready to sentence them to death, because, like you guys said very well, Sacramento works best for you if you're dumb. No, was it white and stupid, I think you said.
White and stupid. It's a very, very happy town.
I think
you can
pretty much take the color out. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Sacramento.
Hey, you want to hear a rumor? Out. This is a rumor. It's in the rumor mill. I think I might have read it on the internet about Sacramento, sir. You want to hear what you had the flood. You know what's coming?
What?
Locusts.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Locusts?
Locusts.
Or roaches. Oh.
When the weather really warms up, you're going to get the locusts.
How about the Kings? Are they still moving?
They're moving to Las Vegas.
Yeah, that paperwork's already been signed.
The paperwork signed. Now, listen, Mike.
Listen,
I got to tell you, huh?
What? I'm here.
Yeah, Mike is looking good, very good today. You look nice, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I feel good.
I got to tell you guys.
You are retarded.
As far as when I could dream up for a show.
Bye.
Okay. As soon as the guy starts saying you're looking nice today.
Once he gives me my compliment, you can cut him loose.
Like yeah. Mr. Zodiac.
I'm wearing blue.
How could he see you?
Yeah. I always look good in blue.
I'm you scared. Do.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Yeah, you cats missed the biggest, the two greatest colognes ever, man.
Name them, please.
Canoe and Jade East.
Canoe, do you canoe? Yeah, that was, I don't know if that was ever in my regular rotation.
My Aunt Mary gave me a thing of canoe.
Weren't you always gifted something by somebody?
Right. Yeah, I mean, colognes came from, like, distant relatives. Cologne's always been a good gift. But,
sure.
But then at one point, somebody in my family said, oh, are you giving me this because I smell? And I always remembered it, and I always hesitated to buy, like, perfume for women.
Well, whenever I get it, I always get, okay, now remember, just a little goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day.
Easy, fella.
I got issues, okay?
I don't give away a perfume to women, and I don't give them tux anymore.
Hello.
Either.
Unless they need it.
Unless they really need it.
Hello, Don and Mike Joe. Oh, tux. Hold on. Hold on there, Connor. Hold on. We've not even mentioned this tool, Glenn Beck.
Oh, yeah.
The YouTube video.
Right.
Glenn Beck is a guy that started in Top 40 radio like I did and was a Top 40 DJ in Tampa Bay and burned out and reinvented himself as one of these political pundits.
Right.
And there's a video of him on YouTube where he's disoriented and out of it, and he's coming out of a mystery procedure in the hospital. And it was disclosed today that the mystery procedure was to have hemorrhoids removed.
Yeah. Couldn't be any better, right? Unless he was having some sort of sex change.
Nope.
I think that's right on the pecking order. That's like when we play the medical information game. You know, hemorrhoid surgery way up there.
Oh, yeah. But boy, there's got to be bad, right? They got to go in and laser those babies off.
Well, you think it might be his broadcasting style? It's not what I would describe as mellow. It's not what I would describe as relaxed. He really has that kind of twitchy jump around, you know, yeah, blood vessels in his head.
But remember, he's got the lifetime of Top 40 Radio of sitting behind a microphone, just sitting for hours on it, just sitting.
You know, the strange thing is, my bout with hemorrhoidal tissue occurred early in my broadcasting career. In my later days, I have not.
You didn't have to have an operation for it.
Well,
huh?
I mean, but you remember way back when, right?
Right.
When we first started working together, remember somebody. Was it a listener that brought me in that little statue of a guy sitting on a bed of nails? You know, it was a hemorrhoid thing, and
I don't even remember.
You made hemorrhoid jokes, and I hated them because I was, I was young.
It's embarrassing.
I was embarrassed. Now, of course,
I've never had one.
I'm very proud of the fact that I've gone away from that. I guess what happened was my tissue firmed up, got stronger.
Anyway, itself.
This guy Glenn Beck, the video about him, he's delirious and he's coming out of the operating room and he's like speaking in tongues and it's been highly viewed. I placed a call to my sister-in-law, the nurse Judy, and I asked her about that type of operation. And I wish that I could. Goddamn, I don't have the picture here. She sent me a picture from a medical journal,
right,
of what the condition looks like inside someone's bottom,
right.
And all I can say is that the picture look like hundreds of little pegs all over this guy's butt, or woman, whoever it was, in this thing.
You said pegs?
Yeah, where they were sticking out.
Right.
Yeah. Sticking out, and it looked like a light bright board.
Well, there is the exterior hemorrhoid and the interior hemorrhoid.
Right. I guess what he had was the type that Judy, my sister-in-law,
that sit on the outside?
Yeah, and that's, she said, most likely that's the type where you need surgery.
Because you're in such agony that you have to have them removed.
She said most likely, this is why Judy's so great with this information. She said, because she knows this stuff. She's been a nurse her whole life. She said, you would have to soak your rectum every single day. You would be straining at stool every single day. To simply sit down would be incredibly painful.
Right.
The only way to describe these pictures, they look like nubs. You know when those? Yeah, here's how I can describe it. You know the commercial for a razor blade where they show them pulling the thing away from the skin?
Yeah, right.
That's what this picture looked like. It looked like.
What, they're cylindrical?
It looked like about 50 mushrooms, little mushrooms that someone had clipped the top off of.
Oh, so you saw the picture like post-surgery?
Yes.
Agony.
Yes.
So they're raw.
They were like little piece of candy cane corn.
Oh, wow. Nasty.
Nubs. They cauterized.
No wonder he was, they cauterized them. Oh, they have to.
They
no wonder he was disoriented.
Yeah, right.
He had that major procedure. But when you see the guy, you know, isn't he, really, seriously, isn't he like a junior Rush? Isn't that what he wants to be?
Yeah, absolutely.
He totally stole that act.
Also, I had probably one of the darker experiences of my life. May not have been as dark as what will happen to me in the future when I see this tape on YouTube and I realize, I mean, you could have shaved. But had one of the darker moments of my life. And I've had pretty dark times. And
I mean, listen.
What is he? And I haven't seen this tape.
It's been out for about a week.
Is he being interviewed?
He's laying on the bed. He's laying on a hospital bed, like on a gurney.
And he's being interviewed after his procedure.
He's just blah, blah, blah.
He's rambling.
Sure. It's stream of consciousness. It's whatever they've shot him up with.
Right.
For the jujubes on his bottom. He's like this.
But we don't know that at the time.
It's the only time in my life that I have had moments of, that could have come out of the movie Saw. The things that were going on in my head, and much of them drug-induced with the medication that they had me on in the hospital, I just got off the phone with my doctor, and he said, are you still on X, Y, and Z? And I said, no, that stuff spooked me too much.
Why would you put this on YouTube? I mean,
I'm sure he didn't. Well, it's not real flattering to him, is it?
He did.
He posted it?
Yes, sure. This was his idea. This was not like someone sneaking a camera in it. It's him doing it.
It's all about He's talking about periods of his life that reminded him of the movie Saw. Uh-huh.
Well, you got to know, I hate to be like a radiophile about this, but I do know the backstory on this guy is that he was, he before was a hard living, he hung around with the Tampa Bay crowd like the late Tom Rivers. And Mason Dixon.
Gotcha.
And, you know, those guys went 24 hours a day.
Life in the fast lane.
So I think that that's a big part of his rap now is that he talks about how he used to party hardy all the time and
the
it almost
days.
Killed him and blah, blah, blah. So those would be the dark days.
Right.
Now, why you would be trying to turn yourself around and become like Rush Limbaugh and then put a YouTube video of yourself having hemorrhoid surgery... The only reason I avoided talking about this is I didn't know what the surgery was.
Well, I'll tell you this. I still, even with your explanation, I still have trouble getting by the fact that he said parts of my life were like the movie Saw. Uh-huh. I'd like to hear more of it. I'd like to see what
he
said.
Well, you're on a combination of just about everything. He said you got just about everything that we have for pain. And I said, yeah, I know. I'm trying to live without it right now. But this stuff took me into places that started on Thursday, and by Saturday night I was full fledged suicidal.
Oh,
all of this from hemorrhoids.
So you talking about the past or what just happened?
Just happened, I think.
Then something happened that turned me.
He is medicated.
Let me just read you his blog. Over the holidays, I decided to have minor surgery I'd been putting off for a while. I intended to keep the whole thing private. I planned to be back at work in time for the caucuses. My routine, outpatient surgery, which was on my butt, went awry, and I was in terrible, excruciating pain. To help, doctors, who were absolutely fantastic, created a sinister cocktail of pain medication so strong it's reserved for Hollywood starlets. It included morphine, Percocet, Toradol, some sort of synthetic morphine derivative on a pump, and my personal favorite, Phenytoyl. Am I saying that right, Buzz?
Phenytoyl, I think.
Phenytoyl. My doctor told me is an opiate 80 times more powerful than morphine.
Wow.
All of this because you got bumps on your butt?
Well, it's got to be more than that.
Imagine, though, if they cut and cauterized back there, just how painful that would be.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Let me see.
But that is a lot.
Combination took me to an incredibly dark place. I started to have trouble breathing. I would hallucinate. Every time I closed my eyes, it was like I entered my own theater running the movie Saw on a loop.
You'd
see horrific, unimaginable images of death. After 2.5 days, the combination of pain and hallucinations drove me to a point where I was suicidal. 5 days in the hospital, still delirious from pain medications, I had the bright idea to post this video on glennbeck.com describing what I was going through. Next thing I knew, it's picked up by Drudge. It's on the front page of AOL. Now over 600,000 people have seen it.
Okay. True. Yeah. Well, now he explains it. So he made the video while he was still under the influence.
Then the whole rest of it is just about him screaming about HMOs.
Okay, so who cares?
Who cares about that? I just think it's funny that he had that collection of cocktails for his butt.
That's pretty intense.
I mean, you must have some major freaking hemorrhoids.
Yeah, there's something there. I mean, it's serious. It's more serious than
my
that.
My sister-in-law said, now, at the time, I didn't know that list of Elvis-like ingredients, but she said, yeah, you'd have to be pretty medded up because she said...
But you know, it probably is hemorrhoids because he said it's outpatient surgery, right?
Yes.
He said it's outpatient, so it couldn't have been that heavy duty.
And it depends on how many he has. If he had 6 or 8, each one of them would have to be cut and cauterized. Imagine how that would hurt.
The picture that Judy sent me was of a guy's coolie, and he was opening it.
Right.
And there had to be, I counted, 25 on each side.
Well, there you go.
He probably had a similar amount. I mean, it's nasty.
But he
said... You haven't had that procedure, but you're pretty familiar with things around the butt.
Well, I've never had a procedure because what it turned out, it wasn't a fissure and it wasn't hemorrhoids. It was the colitis, which
right.
is just an inflammation.
Yeah.
Angry now.
Just a colitis.
And how is that?
It's, you know what? Hadn't been a real good week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right.
Sorry to hear that.
But I'm not putting anything up on the web talking about it.
How's your vasectomy going?
Great.
Do you think that your colitis...
I proved this morning how great it was.
Oh.
How about that?
All right, show off.
Hey, do you think your vasectomy involved, you know, got your colitis going at all?
It could. You know, they say that the stress has nothing to do with it, but I doubt that.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
So, no, I think more medical maladies, more physical things are related to stress than they have even scratched the surface of.
He says on the tape and in his blog that the surgery went horribly awry.
Ooh.
So, I mean, isn't that probably what happened?
I talked with Judy, and she said, again, she's all the way in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
If you cut and cauterize, I mean, you have to heal, but it's not a tremendous amount of pain, is it, Buzz?
She said with a lot of them.
A friend of mine had the procedure done one time, and he was it was just about you basically go from the outpatient procedure, you know, you can hardly function. You go right into a tub. That's usually what the procedure, and then it's like days of soaking.
That's what Judy was saying, just soak,
soak, you soak, 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 soak. That's all you can do.
Until you have to change the water.
Drink it.
And then later you take that water and you put it in your natty pot.
and you wash out your nostrils. So is he messed up for the rest of that tape? Is he just wasted?
Yeah, he just continues.
In a miraculous fashion that I am once again in awe of my wife and how she has... I believe she has saved my soul twice.
But listen, that's Mike.
Really. Here's what I think. You know, let's not forget what this guy's act is all about.
Right.
This guy is Mr. Melodrama. He's the most melodramatic TV pundit I've ever seen.
You got it.
And I think he's doing the same thing with this.
Are aliens coming to our planet? I'm Glenn Beck. You can trust me because I used to do coke all the time. I don't now. Join me next on Headline News.
Yeah. I'm just extremely. There's a pregnant pause, melodramatic. What are we really going to do about this, huh? You know, he's just a guy. Wouldn't you like to just drop him you see him?
Yeah.
Really, I'd just like to smack the guy.
But I know him from his prior life.
Yeah, do you know the guy personally?
I ran in some circles he ran in.
God. All right. I won't put down one of your friends.
I wouldn't call him a friend.
Okay. Just a source?
An acquaintance. No, no, not a source.
Okay.
Maybe maybe I mooched.
I will not sully his good name.
I just remember one time when all those boys in Tampa Bay were driving around with their sheriff's badges and everything. He was one of the guys. For a while,
I had a little contact with those guys too.
For a while, these guys in Tampa Bay, man, it was an outlaw city. All the DJs, Q105, they had sheriff's badges. General manager had this big-ass badge, and it was like anybody gives him any trouble, he'd pull this thing out and say, hey, don't screw with me.
Was that when we were down at that Maxim magazine thing?
Yeah.
I remember that weekend.
You know, and that reminds me, I just read in the paper yesterday something happened here in D.C. Imagine the bad luck of this idiot. It's some dum-dum that's driving around, and he's got cop lights in the grill of his car.
Right.
Yeah. And he's one of these idiots that is pulling people over and effing with them. So... this happened just 2 days ago here in D.C. He pulls a guy over on the Beltway, and he walks up to the car, and he's like, hey, I'm a cop. What's going on? As it turns out, the guy that he pulled over was an off-duty cop.
Oh!
So the off-duty cop then chased him. They caught him. Anyway, you know, the guy had to be thinking, you know, what are the odds?
Yeah.
Seriously, what are the odds?
Didn't we have badges at one point?
We still do.
Well, I don't know where mine is.
I have mine. I also have...
You saved it?
I also have all of that cool DEA stuff.
Oh, the hats and
the hats
jackets
and
all that?
And the jackets. The real stuff, not the stuff that you buy down on Constitution Avenue.
Way back when, we got pretty cool badges.
I still have mine somewhere.
I forget. And some weird little police department, too. Did you ever use your badge?
No. Are you kidding? I would pull that thing out. Who would believe that? It would be like Shaquille O'Neal. I believe Shaquille O'Neal.
It'd be pretty stupid.
And he's really a cop.
It'd be pretty stupid to flash it at somebody on the highway, on Route 50, driving home.
That's a different circumstance, Mike.
That's what I did.
I know. Maybe you did that.
And I never like pulled anybody over, but I went. I think I drove by a couple of people when I first got the badge, and I just went.
Yeah. I
and looked at him, and then one guy that, you know, the second time I did it, and this one I never did it again. The second time, you know, I was in a hurry to get home, and I'm tailgating this guy. And he finally pulls over. He was going like 30 miles an hour in a 55. And I drove by him, and I said, move it along. And then I held I held up the badge like a real ass. The next guy I did the same type of thing to, like a couple of days later, flips me off.
Oh. Well,
there was my credibility.
No, you can believe a cop driving an Acura.
That's the car, too.
Right.
It was an Acura.
No, it was.
That's right.
You wearing your sailor hat, driving that car, pull out your big badge.
Park's closed, sir. Moose out front should have told you.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, my name is Gail.
Hello, Gail.
Hi. The guy with the hemorrhoids thing, he has to get over himself because women that are pregnant will tend to get hemorrhoids all the time.
True. Right.
I had four of them the day that I went in to have my child.
Oh, my God.
They cannot give you anything, so they had to stick a needle down there.
Oh, my God. So you not only had the pain of childbirth and labor.
But you had butt hemorrhoids.
But you had hemorrhoids.
Oh, yeah.
And it was did you deliver the child naturally?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God! So that's all about push, push, push.
So the baby never came. The baby never came close to the speed bumps, did he?
No, she did not, and she's perfectly fine.
Good, thank you.
Why would you think the baby would be tainted for life because of that?
Well, it could be an anal birth.
The baby would not be able to function properly because the forehead had grazed the hemorrhoidal tissue. You know, kid comes out, oh, man. I tell you, I could have been president of the United States if I hadn't come out the birth canal and I hit my head on the hemorrhoid.
Mom, what is this odd birthmark I have? This scratch going down the side of my face.
I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. Was that the forceps? No. Unfortunately, there was a little roadblock when you were coming out.
Mom's hemorrhoids.
We got a bleeder.
One more and we're off to commercial land. Oh, that's always a happy trip.
Isn't it?
Pack your bags.
Exciting.
Going on a great vacation in just a moment. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don, Mike, hey Buzz, and Rob. How are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. I know exactly what procedure this guy had done.
Okay, what was it called?
Asectomy.
Okay, and on that,
bye.
Well, what a lovely way to go to break.
No, there's no need for us to drag that guy through the town square.
No,
how about that?
But it is. It's really going out of this first segment with a whimper.
We let him go. The hill people will get him on his way out of town.
The hill people, the gypsies will take him away, and Black Peter will take care of him.
Yeah. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi. We're doing great.
So this is Michelle. It's the first time I've gotten through.
Well, hi there, Michelle.
Hi. But you're talking about that surgery, and you were saying about it. It was outpatient surgery. And I'm sure you know, or a lot of people know, with the winning insurance company's car, I went in for back surgery, had two discs removed, and they sent me home the same day after they did surgery on my spine. And they don't care how drugged up you are.
You're right.
Uh-huh.
They just send you home, and they're like, if you have a problem, go to the ER.
They want you out of there.
Yep, sure.
Yep, exactly.
All right, thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye, honey.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
I couldn't hear you
because
I'm on
my cell phone. We heard you. That's you had outpatient surgery.
No problem.
Right, we got you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend. Stand by your man.
I will. Thanks.
Give him all the love you can.
I will.
Stand by your man.
Have a
lovely weekend.
Bye, you too. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye, Yeasty.
Yeasty the troll.
Yeasty the troll with two less discs.
Well, you're the one that wanted one more call. I was happy with the guy that we're going to take care of the hill people with, Mike.
You were happy. You weren't happy with him.
Sure.
You were questioning him.
I was, but I knew that maybe the next card would not be as good in the deal as that one was.
Well, that last lady I found riveting. Fascinating.
So I did not want a redeal.
Another card.
Now I'll take a new one, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, how you guys doing? This is the first time I've ever called you guys. I've been listening to you guys for some time now, and
I
love
that.
You guys.
Three of clubs.
You guys are great, man. We enjoy
hey, hey, hey.
The chef out in
what did I say?
Vermont.
Three of clubs, and I'm saying he could be a face card.
Okay, wait, let's see what happens.
He may be a jack.
So anyway,
now hold on a second, sir. We're having a very okay. Go ahead.
With the strange voice. Did he turn out to be a fraud?
Go ahead, five card.
No, now you're being too generous, Mike. No, I'm sorry.
That shit. I was going to say to you, should we make this a single card or two cards, like you would get in a hold'em hand? For example, a great caller, a phenomenal caller, would be pocket aces.
Let's just do it individual.
Individual card.
Individual cards.
Okay. Then I'm standing by the three of clubs.
And I am going to see that three, and I'm going to down it. I'm not going to erase it. I'm going to down it to a two.
Okay. All right. Really, in a poker hand,
because
kind of six and one, half dozen.
At this point, I think Joker would almost be, for this guy, it would be a compliment.
Yeah, that's true.
He would take it the wrong way.
I think we should pull the Jokers out of the deck.
I agree.
We shouldn't have Jokers.
Let's redeal, and let's see if we get a higher card on our next caller so we can go out.
I love rating the callers with cards.
Okay, so this caller just has to be better than a two of clubs.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Hey, they just announced a new perfume for Britney Spears' little sister, Jamie Lynn.
Joke.
Joke. This is a two.
We're busted. Yeah. We're busted. Mm-hmm. We're busted. We are flat busted in AC.
We have a three of clubs and now a two card. Or any, mid-level phase.
I think we have a pair of twos now, Mike.
No, a pair of twos would be a good hand.
House always wins.
Well, not if we're playing blackjack.
Okay.
Or not if we joke. Okay, never mind. All right, you're right. Here's the game we're playing.
Okay, this is good.
It's just got to be a higher card than the last one.
Right. Okay.
So I don't rate the last guy as good as the one before him.
Okay, so the last guy, but did we agree that the last guy was going to be the three of clubs?
The last guy, I might have given him a two as well.
You did give him a two.
Okay, yeah, and so see, that means it would be a push.
All right. So then we'd have to kind of start over again because if you're going backwards, the next caller would be, to make him lower, might have to be an ace. And that doesn't work well.
No, that's not.
God, cards confuse me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you guys doing?
Very well.
Good. I had a comment about Beck. I know somebody who knows him, and the story was that he had hemorrhoids that were like the size of grapes. And when they were trying to cauterize them, when they were trying to slice them off, they slipped.
Say hi to my friend, the king of clubs.
They slipped. They cut open a spark box, and it's tanked, and it was terrible.
Okay. All right. I still want to give him a face card status?
Compared to the other cards we had?
Comparatively? Sure.
I'll make you a bet now.
Make him an eight or a nine. I mean, for the love of God.
I think he's a king, and I'll make you a bet. You pick blind any of these lines that are ringing, and I have such little faith in our audience, I'm going to bet you that whoever it is, no matter how you manipulate them, they will not rise to the status of the last guy.
All right, random card, deal. Deal.
You got it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Hey, I own a grocery store, and I want to talk to him about that opening bit, if I can.
What opening bit?
The one where they were talking about the guy's
I'm sorry, I've already lost.
You're flat busted.
I'm already lost because it's they. You're talking to us!
Flat busted.
And I lost the hand!
Discard.
Flat busted.
I lost the hand!
Oh, let's hear it for the king.
The king of what suit? What suit?
King of clubs.
King of clubs.
Last caller was king of clubs. Oh, and we got to take a vacation right now to commercial. Really?
This is the Don and Mike Show.